Hello, everybody. It's Thursday, August 28th, and we've got some Chapo for you. Joining Felix and I on today's program is senior Chapo woman correspondent, Catherine Krieger. Catherine, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, right at the top of the show, I have to acknowledge I sound more nasally than usual, which I know your listeners really like. So I just want to hold myself accountable.
Weakness. Never show weakness to them. Never hold yourself to account. Never apologize for anything to the hogs.
Well, you know, it's a very woman thing to do, to just like strike an apologetic stance. So, you know, I'm coming out strong out of the gate.
Well, Catherine, seeing as that we have you here, senior woman correspondent for Chapo Trap House Enterprises, I feel at the top of the show we should acknowledge probably the most prominent news story in the world of women, and that is the impending nuptials of the king and queen of America, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
This has been a really like fucked up week for me because listeners of the show know that I'm a moderator on r/Travis Felch Me. We're a community of men who all believe that Travis Kelce is secretly gay and he's going to come out any day now. So we're looking for signs that this is like a sham thing and that it's a fake out, that he might marry his brother, who's also named Travis Kelce. But it's not looking good. And there have been 6 suicides and we mourn them all.
Is that the male equivalent of the Gaylor subreddit? Because they've also been in absolute disarray. It's looking like she's not gay.
One of my favorite responses on the Gaylor Swift subreddit was, "I'm not buying it."
I don't get it. I don't profess myself to be like an expert in lesbian affairs. I'm like an orientalist for lesbians. Well, I know more than the average person, but I'm not like, I wouldn't, if someone offered me a professorship, I wouldn't take it.
You're a casual fan, but not a distinguished scholar.
Yeah. So a typical lesbian outing is you and your ex, who you were in a 15-year-long relationship with, who you broke up 7 years ago. You drive across country with your 2 dogs that have some horrible disease, and you do some type of like very complicated Thanksgiving that involves like 10 people being in like 6 different cars. I don't really get it, but there's a lot of that. It's an impenetrable world. I watched this great Netflix dating show that had a lesbian episode, and the name of their bars, because there's this older lesbian telling this younger lesbian what bars to go to, and she was like, "You have to go to the Rusted Mage. You're going to have to grind XP, but once you get out of Rusted Mage, you can go to Circle Her." And that's where you can, it's like, being a lesbian is like playing a super impenetrable RPG. And this is all to say, Taylor Swift, she has nothing in common with any of the various types of lesbians I've seen. One might even say she's like one of the most obviously heterosexual women ever.
Wait, so what you mean to say is you were not at Taylor Swift night at the Rusted Mage?
There was no Taylor Swift night at the Rusted Mage.
I also love like that naming convention versus like gay bars are always just called like Screw.
Yeah. Pig Hole.
Anvil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mineshaft.
Yeah.
The Rooster Bar.
Slam.
the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce gay ship communities are breathing heavily into a paper bag right now. It's not looking good for them. But I just want to stress this. It has not happened yet. There's still time for Travis and Jason to get married and be gay with each other.
Well, and I think the fans should you know, unionize. They should unify. They should sign a change.org petition. We can stop this if we move quickly. She does have to listen to us. She's a public good. She's a public utility. Nationalize Taylor Swift. We can't let her do this.
Is there a movement for like Hamilton officiants? Like the priest is like, "I can't do this because you're both gay."
That's an interesting question. Do we think they'll be married in a church.
No,
probably like the security is not good enough. You know, they'll have to like have kind of a secret wedding in a tropical locale. Everyone will take private jets. It'll be a climate like apocalypse. But it won't be as tacky as the Bezos-Sanchez wedding, which was, you know, just atrocious.
I think they should get married in the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., and then be officially crowned King and Queen of America. I mean, this... I've had this idea for years now, and I know I remember talking about it on the show, but I think America should consider having a monarchy of sorts, but like it's an elected position. It's like it's a 1 8-year term for a man and a woman, and it is essentially the two most famous men and women in America are elected to be king and queen, and they have to marry each other, and they have to, and then they have to do a movie together where they have unsimulated sex.
Okay. Yep. I'm rocking with you. Also, it has to be a show like Love is a many frettered thing. What is it? Love is Blind. What's the one where they're on the island, Slutty Island?
Love Island.
Oh, Love Island.
Come on,
sorry.
Catherine. Whoa, your senior woman correspondent credentials are in serious jeopardy.
Listen,
by struggling to come up with that poll.
Listen. But by that I mean it should be 80 episodes long, and each one is 2 hours long. You know, probably the only thing that could prevent a war in America, you know, keep women busy for many, many hours.
Prevent the gender war now. So obviously, Gaylor Swift and the Travis Felcher subreddit communities are taking this to harsh. But there's another group of people who I think are maybe slightly more optimistic about this impending wedding. And that is the National Review.
Oh, Mike.
And I highlighted this the other day. This is like one of those like perfect trifectas of quote, retweet, and response that I thought was just, it really warmed my heart. It begins with Tim Carney. You'll remember Tim Carney. I think we talked about him on the show. He's got sort of very small doll-like eyes, but he says...
Yeah. He comes from a dynasty. His family were the first people to operate a tilt-a-whirl.
Tim Carney, step right up here. He says, pregnancy is contagious.
Is that the excuse his wife used on him? Pregnancy is contagious? I was on assignment for a year. How did it happen?
Also, they're just making up worms now.
Familyism is not a familyism.
Come on.
Timothy Carney wants people to know that familyism and natalism are conveyed culturally. If Kelsey and Swift have kids, and quickly, this could trigger a baby boom.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great point. No celebrities have gotten pregnant for over 30 years.
it's children of men.
Celebrity men.
It just hasn't happened. It's not like Cardi B got pregnant 9 times while annoying everyone with her on again, off again relationship with Offset.
Everyone's least favorite member of Migos.
I do think their relationship is sweet in a way because it is like, I said this the other day that like, you know how when I had no idea who this guy was until
as you've said, you do not watch stick and ball sports.
Yeah, they're terrible. You know, when I thought he was just a normal athlete type, and then he won the Super Bowl and was like, "Shit, y'all know how we," you know, like. And I really like knowing what a business Taylor Swift is. If she didn't love him, she would be like, you're taking elocution classes.
Yeah, so you're like My Fair Lady him.
Yeah, Travis, no more walking on the shoulder of the highway drinking a fucking 2-gallon jug of Arizona.
You don't even smoke. Stop buying menthol lights.
Yeah, but I don't know. Looking back at many types of people I've known in my life, I always think I should write a sequel to Canterbury Tales. And
the wife of Swift.
Well, one of the great archetypes that I have seen across my life is, you know, Taylor Swift is kind of this type of like a woman who has been in sort of like a B-tier grad school program for way too long. And then her boyfriend, who is for some reason a white guy who's like trying to get waves. But I think it is. It's nice. It sort of is the perfect. They are the perfect couple for like the parts of America that don't want to just like torture people to death in detention camps. But I don't think, you know, I don't think it's going to cause a baby boom because celebrities have been pregnant before. I don't know if the National Review is aware of this.
In addition to celebrities, people continue to be pregnant as well. I mean, you know, there are families everywhere. We should know.
The Chapo baby boom?
Yeah, Chapo baby boom. I mean, yeah. We're causing a negative baby boom.
It's so funny, like, the idea that, like, the baby boom happened because we won probably, like, the last quote-unquote good war, and now we are so washed as a country that we're hoping two celebrities getting married is, like, you know, going to revitalize our economy and our culture, and also create, like, a new generation of eventual boomers, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. We need to be working on getting rid of the one we already have.
Well, I'm doing my best. I'm doing my absolute best. I'm coughing on every single one.
It really is like cargo cult shit. It's the same thing as the people who like who think that just by like making foreign goods more expensive that it'll be the 1950s again.
Right, right.
And,
yeah.
And we'll manufacture for the rest of the world. We just have to build the factories now. If enough people see like Taylor Swift get knocked up and go, wait, if I put my penis in a vagina, that can happen to me. Then, well, I mean, 1950s all over again.
Felix, this is why it is so essential to my program of American monarchy that the two lady and gentleman celebrities must consummate their royal nuptials in a movie.
I mean, I think
people need to know where babies come from.
Oh, you really want to see Taylor Swift having sex?
Well, no, but I think the country could benefit from it. There's a lot of people out there that are confused. They don't know how...
That is true.
They don't know about familyism. But I do want to get back to the National Review because like, it was Timothy P. Kearney that sort of kicked things off. And then he was quote retweeted by Michael Brendan Doherty. You remember Michael Brendan Doherty. He's sort of the... weepy Irish Catholic guy. We've talked about him on the show before. He's a denizen of the National Review.
Classic three name style guy.
Yeah.
Don't you think this is weird? Michael Brendan Doherty used to be in B2K. He was the only white member. I always thought that was so weird. He was so out of place. Like, there were all these, like, great black teenagers dancing fantastically. And then there was this, like, 37-year-old Catholic man. I don't know why he was in the group.
Well, large families have long been his sort of bailiwick. And his response to Timothy Kearney was, if she got pregnant today, medically it would qualify as a geriatric pregnancy. He's dousing some cold water on the Swiftie baby boom because she is.
You want it or not?
She is a hideous crone at the age of 35.
She's washed. She's ran through.
Yeah, I didn't think about this. We should actually kill her.
Well, I mean, I just love the idea that like you get out of going to you attend Latin Mass 12 times a day, and in the few minutes of the day when you're not praying the Rosary, you're like pregnancy watch, pop star pregnancy watch.
Well, like she's never been pregnant before that we know of. What if she's like LeBron and she can pump him out like you know till like age 50? We don't know. I think that pregnancy is a lot like sports. Like they only just in terms of time, it's like just a little blip that women have stopped smoking in the third trimester.
You're right. So we don't even know.
Yeah.
So Michael Brendan Doherty is obviously getting on Taylor Swift for delaying marriage, and you know, I mean, she's just announced that she's engaged to be married. You don't even know if she's going to get pregnant, but he's saying it doesn't matter because she's already dried up, and it's a geriatric pregnancy. But why are we getting on Taylor Swift for this? There are all these years, like basically since he turned 13, that Travis Kelce could have been knocking women up and having babies. He hasn't done that.
Maybe he has been. And we just don't know it, you know?
Well, we should get the National Review on that. But I want to take like the final reply in this trifecta of normal comes courtesy of Catherine Jean Lopez, who I don't think we've ever talked about on the show, but like...
I love her.
She was great. She was like sort of the maven of the National Review's online blog, The Corner. And her reply to Michael Brendan Doherty was, "We wish she got married at 22, but this will have to do." What a rich inner life you must have.
You're an adult-ass woman having thoughts like this and then typing them out and hitting send. We wish. Absolutely incredible.
We all wish Taylor Swift got married decades ago, but I guess this will have to do.
Oh, you know, this is what I'm talking about. Nationalize her.
Yeah. Well, she's... you know, I mean, like, all those years when she was a billionaire pop star, she could have been, you know, starting a family.
I wish that 17-year-old she dated when she was, like, 23, which, like, but I'm not one of these guys who's like, we should criticize it when women do it, too. No, women should be able to do things that are about 1.5 times as evil as what we allow men to do.
I couldn't agree more.
I think it's hilarious that she did that. It's fine. But she should have married that 17-year-old.
Be a new chapter in Felix's Canterbury Tales. I like that idea.
Well, and also, like, to say the obvious, what they mean is, like, they really want a white baby boom, right?
Well,
like,
yeah, that's why they don't care about Cardi B. Well, I think this is a good way to kick things off today because, you know, like, the National Review, the Gaylor Swift, they're all in the business of giving advice. And on today's episode, it's been said that giving advice that's not solicited is just an insult. And in the spirit of that, we are turning again to insulting people who have not sought our advice, but we are giving it to them anyway. Instead, they have been seeking advice from the child-rearing, sex, and general modern manners experts at Slate.com in the Dear Prudy column. So I have we've selected a number of Dear Prudy advice letters today, and we're going to dig into them and see if we can help people out who didn't ask for it. Going into the first question, Dear Prudence, there's a cantankerous old lady who lives across the street from me. She must be, this is like the plot to the movie Weapons, actually. She must be at least in her mid-80s, and she is forever threatening to call the police if she sees my kids, who are 6 and 8, playing in our front yard. One time, she actually did call the police, claiming they were committing vandalism, when in reality, they were drawing on the sidewalk in front of our house with washable sidewalk chalk. When the officers who responded learned the truth, they were not pleased at having their time wasted. My kids have come to loathe her. Well, last week when my 8-year-old was outside and saw her in her front yard, he mooned her when she began her usual tirade. That sent her running back indoors. About 15 minutes later, we heard sirens. I was expecting that she had called the cops again, but it wasn't the police. It was an ambulance. The EMTs loaded her into it and took off. I later learned that she'd had a stroke. She is still in the hospital, and my son is scared he's going to be in trouble for what happened to her. How can I reassure him that it wasn't his fault that she had a stroke? So I just want to be, before we get into answering this question, I would like to be upfront in answering this question that, like, I'm going to let the listeners in. This is exactly what happened to Matt.
This is how we unveil it.
Yeah. Matt was, there were some neighborhood kids that were giving him a hard time. One of them mooned him, and then his brain just, you know, shit the bed.
Well, first of all, it is this kid's fault. The cops are coming. This kid's going to be put in juvenile detention. This lady had it coming. Also, I'm just picturing, like, you know, doing vandalism in front of your own house. Like, maybe they were getting ready to do one of those like, Black's Rule style fake false flags. They were, you know, like, yeah, on their own house. So, you know, maybe this lady is really protecting the neighborhood.
I mean, yeah, the mom seems really confident that it's not the kid's fault. And it's like, I'm really not sure. Like, I mean, I'd like to get Dr. House on this, but, like, I'm pretty sure there's a one-to-one thing. She didn't have any strokes before seeing his ass.
I think this is one of those examples where, like, yes, it is the kid's fault that this woman had a stroke, but it's good and he should be celebrated for doing this to her. Because it sounds like she's a witch. She's a bad old woman that no one likes and will miss. So if it's just an innocent mooning or sidewalk chalk vandalism can do it to her and just go, ah, and then just brain out, done. Ambulance coming up. You know, I say more power to him. And I think this kid should get, like, some sort of, there should be a community, like, outdoor party day dedicated to this kid in the little suburban cul-de-sac where they live.
The HOA is going to let that family not mow their lawn every 2 weeks just for the summer as a reward. Not be penalized for some tiny slight.
So, yeah. When she says, how can I reassure him that it wasn't his fault that she had a stroke? I mean, don't. Oh, yeah. As Felix, you're right. Don't lie to your kid.
Yeah.
He is responsible, but he should be celebrated for it. Rather, because, I mean, like, because when you're 8 years old, there is nothing funnier than mooning someone. You know, you're on the school bus, you moon someone in another car. Hilarious. Maybe not so much if it causes an accident and someone dies.
Did you two do this? Did you moon? You've done moons?
I've done moons.
I was going to say that there is only one thing funnier than mooning someone, and it's killing someone. But only when you're in the single digits. Don't do it after.
Imagine what a good bit that is for an 8-year-old. That, like, this horrible witch who lives across the street and calls the cops on you and your brother for, like, riding their bicycle down the street. You finally just show some cheek to that old witch, and then she just, like, has a stroke and fucking falls out. Yeah. Like,
oh my God.
Where do you go from there?
And you're like, early adolescence. That's what we all hope for.
I would feel like Paul Atreides. I can kill with my ass.
The mooner must awaken.
Yeah. Like, I don't think the mom understands what goes on in a child's mind.
Well, few can.
Yeah. But if only we could return to that sense of childlike wonder at the world and joy in showing your ass to someone.
You know, how unfair is it, you know, if we engaged in that kind of behavior, you know, we'd end up on the sex offender registry. But, you know, when a kid does it, it's cute as hell.
Yeah, I tried to, I even tried to bring this back, this sort of like innocent Dennis the Menace style stuff. And I tried to teach at Stony Brook, mooning class only for children. And they arrested me.
That is Mom of a Little Mooner. So Mom of a Little Mooner, I think we could put this one to bed. It is your child's fault, but it's good that he did that. And it's very funny. And he has done a wonderful service to the neighborhood and his own family.
Unfortunately, your kid is definitely going to become a stand-up, though. So, you know, get ready for a life of misery.
I'd be worried about
pain.
That because, like I said, there's nowhere for him to go but down after that one. And
yeah, but like, so many of the best comedians are formed out of, you know, the trauma of childhood. Yeah. Well, that too. And, you know, adversity of knowing your best bit has already gotten off.
God, did you imagine what a fucking miserable old bat that woman is to call the cops on kids playing in their front yard?
Listen,
when I was growing up, it's like, you know, if the frisbee or the ball went into the yard, you know, like that was one thing. But like, it's just, fair enough.
Will gives me a hard time because, you know, I don't know if people know this, but I'm from the Midwest originally, and I'll always be like about something very silly. I'll be like, you probably don't even know about like Little League, or you probably don't even know about you know, like something very mundane that I assume is like exclusive to being a child that grew up with a yard experience. And Will's like, no, I play Little League,
West Side Little League.
Yes. You know when you're growing up and you have that one neighbor who tells you and your friends to keep it down when you're doing your weekly reading of Naked Lunch.
I did have a downstairs neighbor in the first apartment I lived in that would, like, he was a cantankerous old man, and he would use his cane. He would hit the ceiling of his apartment when I would run around the house.
That's crazy.
And so I killed him.
That's like a movie. That's a movie thing to me. I thought that only happened in movies. You know, like with a broom, but with a cane classic. That's classic.
I poisoned him.
Your life a damn movie.
Yeah, I had a neighbor who did that when I lived in Minneapolis, but she also gave me an AC unit, so it's kind of impossible. She's sort of like a classic frenemy.
Yeah.
that's what it's like when men and women are friends. What were you doing to be too loud, though? Was it music or was it gaming?
Oh, well, what I was doing is playing
Gooning.
One guy, one jar really loudly on my projector. No, I just, she said something weird to me. She said that I don't walk heel to toe. And so when I like would get up in the middle of the night to like take a piss, it would wake her up.
What?
And it's like,
heel to toe is louder. What, she would be like, you shuffle?
I don't know what her, she was weird. I didn't call her this, but actually, you know the story, I think I told it on the show. I definitely told it on Twitter. The woman that I knew from my job who would like invite me over to look at her new cat, and I didn't realize she was flirting with me, and I was
like, she old? What?
No.
Oh, okay.
Ew, no.
Oh, she was like 27. She was Taylor Swift age.
She was almost spoiled.
Withered.
Yeah, almost like 8 years of babies left in her. But no, she called her the Star Wars lesbian, which I thought was funny, but I didn't call her that because she had a life-size Darth Vader like statue.
There's really a lot to unpack there. So you had like two middle-aged lesbians fighting for your affections, and you
One was like my age.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I never got that heel-to-toe thing. She just said that I walk wrong.
It's hard to know where to go from there. Yeah. You know, it's worked out pretty well for me thus far in my life. So I don't know if I can change how I walk. It does seem to be working.
Yeah.
I do sort of left, right. That usually gets the job done.
This is when I was like 23. I was super athletic. I was the only guy in that building who deserved the gift of life, too. So I don't know how she could say that to me.
Okay, that's the first advice letter, that in the can. All right, next one coming up. Dear Prudence, my mother-in-law is insanely cheap, but recently she did something when she was out with my one-year-old son and my four-year-old daughter at the movies that is infuriating. We were having lunch at her place the other day when I thanked her for taking the kids to the movies so my husband and I could have some alone time. She shared a secret with me for getting in without paying. She crowed about how she had taken off one of my son's shoes and gone up to one of the staff and said it had been lost in the theater of the movie they were going to see. The staff member let them in to look for it, assuming they would leave through one of the doors leading to the parking lot once it was found. She then had them stay for the movie. To me, this is stealing. When I told my husband about it, he said I was overreacting. His parents used to do that all the time when he and his brother and sister were young. I don't know which is worse, what my mother-in-law did or the fact that my husband finds it acceptable. Would it be reasonable for me to quash all future outings where my mother-in-law has the kids too? Signed, Silver Screen Scam.
I'll tell you what's worse, writing this letter.
I think what this letter reveals is a Silver Screen Scam is belatedly finding out that she's married into a family of grifters. This is like Paper Moon, you know? Like, they've been doing the old infant shoe scam to get over on movie theaters for decades. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think this is kind of a genius scheme.
Yeah, this is Tim Carney's wife, by the way. recently, my mother-in-law taught my sons how to play three-card Monty.
How to fleece pigeons on the Broadway.
Teaching your kids how to like be the guys who hustle you at chess in Union Square.
That's just called teaching your kids how to play chess.
I guess so.
I don't think carnies do that. I think if you tried to explain the great game of chess to a carny, he would explode.
Listen, some carnies have the souls of poets.
No, incorrect.
No, that's not true.
Will, do you even know about fairs? Do you know about fairs? Is that a New York City thing? You know, you go.
There were street fairs all the time.
That's not the same. That's not the same at all.
Oh, why? Because there are Dominicans there.
Period.
We know what you say when you're not on air.
Well, to me, this one is really, you know, it's egregious that these people would steal from Hollywood. You know, like I'm calling Tom Cruise movies and, you know, the cinematic experience are in decline and we need to do everything we can to save movie theaters.
You're right.
You know, I'm barely employed and sometimes I go to the movie theater and just buy a ticket just as like a little donation and then walk out, you know, because I didn't even want to see that movie. And I'm just doing my part as a citizen.
But if you don't have a small kid, you can't run this scam, you know? So Catherine, I'm coming around on this. It is an ingenious scam, but it's not so much that it's stealing. It's stealing from the movies, which should be punishable by death.
Yes, I agree.
So this high grading mother-in-law, needs to be, like sent to the Tom Cruise re-education camp. I like to imagine the movie she snuck the kids in for was Michael Haneke's The Piano Teacher.
Yeah, it was a second run theater playing Solo.
I've got an idea for how the three of us can run this scam, probably less convincingly because holding a baby makes you look more honest. but it would be true. If the three of us went to a movie and we're like, we all lost our vapes in the theater, can you please let us in to search for them? They would have no choice. And again, it would probably be true.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you don't mind. My adult male friend, Felix Biederman here, he lost both of the shoes in the movie theater. Could you please let us in so we can find them?
Happens all the time. You know, kick off your shoes, light up your big cigar, do big laughs.
About a year and a half ago, I lost my Dune commemorative popcorn bucket in this theater. Do you think I could come back in and search for it?
Listen, those have resale value.
All right, next advice question. This one is short but sweet. Dear Prudence, when my in-laws stayed with me and my husband for a week, this was their first such visit, I learned something disgusting about my mother-in-law. She does not adequately wipe her butt. While doing the laundry, I discovered prominent skid marks on all of her underwear. I was thoroughly grossed out. What's a tactful way of addressing this with her for the next time she and my father-in-law are over? Signed, toilet paper is available on the open market. Now,
I would say next time you think she's about to go to the bathroom, go, hey, why don't we go together? And then you can sort of like naturally show her how you do it, you know? That's what women are doing in there, right?
Yeah, that's why women showing go each to other the bathroom how to together. Yeah. checking to make sure you've wiped adequately. And when I saw this one that was on deck, I said to Will, I was like, I didn't know women got skids. I thought that was an exclusively male kind of film Twitter affliction. But, you know, you learn something new every day.
Well, Catherine, this is a huge problem. And I think I credit Slate with being very progressive and sort of shining a light on the problem of female skid. And the thing about skid is that you got to backdraft blast skid. You know, even before you wipe, you got to get in the shower. Sorry, shout out Lex G, by the way.
I had an ex-boyfriend in college, this guy who LARPed, it was a whole thing, who would take a shower after every shit.
Are you how far you've come?
Yeah, well, you only shower about every
I never
other
shower
time,
or
I
wipe.
I think this woman, the way you actually tackle this is you just install a bidet in every room. But, you know, then I feel like bidets are kind of like an age-bounded thing. Like, you know, if you're middle-aged, I think, like, you think they're gay or something. Or also just, like, you lack the fine motor skills to, like, figure out how to use one.
I would say the tactful way of addressing this is just not doing your mother-in-law's laundry. Because, like, this is not something you should ever bring up. It's like, you know, I'm sorry, I couldn't help but notice the last time you visited that your underwear was caked with dried feces from your improper wiping. I would just not do your in-law's laundry.
Also,
why
are you inspecting your mother-in-law's drawers? Like, you know, just throw them in there.
Just throw it in there. Yeah, don't look too closely.
Like,
yeah,
none of your business. Although this is, it's like an insanely embarrassing thing, you know, like, I just, like, if this were ever to happen to me or anyone I knew, I would change my name, I would burn down the house, you would never see or hear from me again.
Well, I actually have another letter here that is also shit-related.
Oh, good.
So this one is a little bit more in-depth. It begins, Dear Prudence, my husband and I just moved into a full one-bedroom apartment built onto my in-law's house. All parties involved are really excited for this arrangement, including me. Okay, stop. Okay, I'm stopping the letter here. Nobody involved is excited for this arrangement. My husband and I are moving into a one-bedroom apartment built onto my in-law's house. Felix, when I read this, the first thing I thought of was that fucking room that we did on Interior Motives with Ben that had a tree going through it.
Yeah, yeah. This is a very medieval arrangement. Like, Jesus. Between, like, the woman washing her grandmother's, like, skidded caftan? Is that the garment?
Sure, why not?
You'd have to have serious skid problems if you got a skid mark on a caftan. They're sort of, like, loose and billowy, you know? Like, you have to have a huge ass if that's riding up on you.
Well, I mean, I think of it as like a Homer and the Moo Moo type situation.
Yeah.
A muumuu is similar to a caftan, yes.
Is this, where are these people located, by the way?
It does not say.
Okay. AASL.
Yeah, Phil, you're right. I mean, this does sound, once again, like something out of the Canterbury Tales. Like, you know, you've married into, you've been put in an arranged marriage, and the family of the daughter can put you up in the stables next to their house, and everyone is really excited for this arrangement. So she says, I'm running into one uncomfortable issue with my brother-in-law, Ben, who also lives in the house. Sounds like a nightmare. This is hell on earth.
Fuck.
Well, I mean, it already got me with the one bedroom attached to the house, but each successive detail is just pain cave.
So yeah, and in addition, my brother-in-law, Ben, who also lives in the house. Whenever Ben finishes using a toilet, there are sizable smears of poop left on the seat.
Oh my God.
My mother-in-law stations Lysol wipes in the main upstairs bathroom, Ben's primary one, and a few years ago placed a small "please clean up after yourself" sign there, but neither has had an impact on the mess. And there are no tools to deal with the mess left on other toilets in the house. When the bathrooms get cleaned, it's my mother-in-law's doing. The family approach to the issue is just to clean the toilet before you use it with whatever is available. And it's just a fact of living with Ben.
Yep.
That's the thing about Ben. He takes massive shits.
Well, it's not even taking massive shits. It's like he's like not using a toilet correctly. Like, how do you get shit smears on the seat of a toilet? That is insane. Maybe once, like if you had like insane diarrhea, but like this is every single time he uses the toilet. How is this possible?
Is his asshole off center? Like, it just boggles. Everyone's had a dirty Monday once in a while.
Yeah.
Where you for whatever reason, Like, you jumbled things up in there and it got places you never imagined.
It's like when a baby blows out its diaper and it like goes all the way up their back.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. But if it's every single time I don't know. He may have been assembled wrong. It really sounds like he has an asshole that's like 8 inches away, like to the left of where it should be.
Well, I mean, it does say here, Ben is autistic, and while there are areas of his life where he's operating a fully capable adult, he's 29 and works in an office full time. There are a lot of key ways he's bolstered by still living at home. Ben is very stubborn and takes monumental effort to get him to change anything about his life, big or small. It's not clear to me what of my in-laws' bolsters are in place because he truly needs help managing parts of his life because he's autistic, versus what is in place because it's easier for my in-laws to keep taking care of him rather than to push him towards more independent living.
Okay, so this kind of, now we figured out what he's doing. This is, apologies if people don't know this, this is a little gross. Autistic people crap by standing up and sort of pulling the turd out of their ass, like when your dog eats a piece of string, and then they throw it into the toilet.
Slam
dunk. They find it soothing because it makes it mathematical for them. They calculate the trajectory, the splash.
Not very well, it would seem. Also, this one is triggering. An autist whose bathroom issues come to dominate your life. Moving right along.
It says, for the years that I've been a visitor in the house, I haven't felt like it was appropriate for me to say or do anything about. For the years that I've been a visitor to the house, I haven't felt like it was appropriate me to say or do anything about the toilet issue. I work full time remotely, and I'm going to be setting up my office upstairs in the main part of the house. My in-laws generously invited me to do that since there's not a good working space in the attached apartment. So my closest toilet is going to be the one Ben primarily uses and is most often the messiest. When it's boiled down, this is mainly a convenience issue for me. I can absolutely just go a little bit of extra distance to the apartment to use the toilet in my husband and my space, but I'm still wondering if this new arrangement with my family opens the door for me to have a direct conversation about this and ask Ben to start cleaning up after himself. I'm really cognizant of being invited to live under this roof, and I don't want to rock the boat by assuming I have the full story of what my family needs or asserting my comfort above those needs. Just a few weeks in. Signed, an inconvenient poop.
So Speaking of not knowing the whole situation, are you allowed to leave when you bear a male heir? Like, what the Clearly fuck not. Is this living? Yeah, what is this living arrangement? You have to live with, you have to like share the toilet chambers with your bewitched brother-in-law. I mean, I guess if you really want to talk to him about this, you could go, hey, Ben, let's have a pooping contest. And then you can naturally, you know, a lot of these questions are pretty easy to answer. They all involve just going up to whatever member of your family is not shitting right and being like, hey, you know what, let's want to tag team the toilet. And then bringing it up naturally. But these people only bring up their problems when they don't want to solve them because yeah. they like the situation. There, yeah. You know?
Well, I mean, like the line here that caught me and, you know, like I'm obviously being autistic, you know, it complicates things, but it says here,
it means your ancestors did something terrible.
It says the family approach is just to clean the toilet before you use it with whatever is available, you know, like a hand towel or face towel or something like
your
that.
Your own hands. What yeah. does that even mean with whatever is available?
And it says, and that it's just the fact of living with Ben. And like, this is the terrifying thing to me about this is that like, people can get used to anything. To anything.
Any indignity.
Like, yeah, like it's just sort of like, the piles of shit in the bathroom. That's he just shits on the ground. He shits in the shower. It's just scoop it up with your hands, put it in the toilet. It's just the way Ben uses the bathroom. But you know, like if you lock the doors to the shed, he won't shit in there.
Also, not to make the super obvious point, move out. This is like just not having to know how your in-laws shit is the reason people don't live with them. That is the full reason. It's not even about wanting to have sex and not have your in-laws here. It's just so that you don't have to run into awkward bathroom situations.
Oh yeah, that is I learning about like any of the contours of people's shitting habits is horrible.
Yeah.
I remember I had this great job as a like a middle schooler where I just walked this woman's like tiny little like, you know, those like 3-pound terriers. You have to walk them like a block and they're exhausted.
That's very good. Teaches responsibility.
Not really. I got paid so much for it. And that's how I had Xbox and PS2.
I'm sensing the butt that's about to.
But I had I almost couldn't face her. Because one time I was, because, you know, I would like go into her house and get her dog. I like went to like go to use her bathroom once and there was just an unflushed turd in the toilet.
Oh.
And it was like, now I know this like intimate detail about this. Like, I know.
Now
like,
I know she shits occasionally.
Well, no, it's not. No, like, you know that everyone shits, but like knowing, okay, what kind of volume are you regularly working with? Color, consistency. It's too intimate.
Yeah,
it's too intimate. No,
it's best to leave it up to the imagination. It's best for, you know, people's movements to be an abstraction.
You think this is going to be a problem for Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, though?
Oh, you know he's left some skids in her toilet bowl. You know he'd be shitting like crazy.
You think when he drops a big one, he's like, boom, shakalaka, boy?
Damn. Oh, girl, shock me like an electric eel.
So I think the answer to this letter reader's question is just, I don't know, take the padlock off the off the shed and leave. Just flee the shit house.
Yeah, inform the police about what's going on so this doesn't happen to another couple. You remember that German guy who he kept his daughter imprisoned in that like basement dungeon?
I believe he was Austrian, but yeah.
Like, it's not the same thing. Like, come on. You remind me of my friend who got a 23andMe, and he was like, my whole life, I thought I was Danish, and it turns out I'm Norwegian. And it's like, oh, I bet that explains everything for you.
That's a real white guy in either Minnesota or Illinois shit.
Yeah, but that is, the living arrangement reminds me of that horrible Austrian guy who got a medal for doing that from Austria. The good dad medal.
Next question. My brother and sister-in-law just celebrated their 10th wedding anniversary with a big party at the restaurant my cousin owns, complete with a large cake with elaborate floral frosting decorations. When it came time for the cake to be served, it was discovered that several of the roses were missing. My niece and nephew, 7 and 8, respectively, had been playing near the kitchen and were punished for pilfering the roses. On the drive home, my husband sheepishly confessed that he was the real culprit. Aww. I am thoroughly embarrassed by and furious with him. The kids didn't get dessert and were grounded from screen time for a week. Should I let this go with the promise from my husband that his actions will never be repeated, or force him to confess and apologize? Signed, literally took the cake.
You are raising a child. That is not a full-grown man. That is a child.
I love that he says it won't be repeated. Like, one of the most specific things I've ever... One of the most specific transgressions. Like,
I won't eat a frosting rose off your sister-in-law's 10-year anniversary wedding cake again. I won't. I promise.
And then number 11 rolls around, and you're like, well, I said I wouldn't do it on the 10th again. It's a new year.
Yeah. I won't do that and then let the kids be blamed for it.
Okay, letting the kids take the fall for this is rotten, but I find something very charming and endearing about this guy who's at, like, you know, at his sister-in-law's wedding anniversary. Boring. He sees a cake with a nice rose, frosting rose on it, and just goes, "Don't mind if I do." Look, the frosting is the best part of any cake. So, like,
yeah,
you know, just have a little, treat yourself. Just have a little bite.
I'm laughing at the idea that, like, they were, like, those really shitty, like, marzipan, like, flowers. Or maybe, like, they were actually just purely decorative. They were made of wax, but he, like, took him, like, 3 different roses fully consumed to realize that.
they were purely decorative roses. They weren't actually frosting. They were plastic.
Yeah, yeah.
It is such a Homer Simpson maneuver.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Literally. Absolutely. It's one of the
most basic tenets of adulthood that you see a cake that's part of an event and you don't just jam your finger into it and go, like, what, is this guy employed? What does he do?
We're learning a lot about male limitations on this episode.
These aren't regular males. These are special.
Or
males.
Or are they, Felix? Or are they?
No, these are special males. In my circle of friends, we would excise someone who ruined a cake and let a child be blamed for it. Or made his sister-in-law feel unsafe in their shared bathroom.
There are certain things that just aren't done. I mean, I can't believe they didn't catch him, you know, based on all the frosting that was around his mouth. You know, like, I'm sure he would have been caught red-handed. I'm sure that's how the wife caught him, was like, why is there red frosting all over your lips before we've cut into cake?
This is like the same husband with, barbecued ribs were served at the family reunion, and then, like, he wiped his face on, like, our grandmother's quilt that had been passed down for several generations of, like, women adding a patch to it, and he was just like, oh, I got barbecue sauce everywhere, oh, just grab that.
you could use the
quilt to deal with the skid issue as well.
I do kind of like the husband's growing on me, because it's like,
he already sold me. I think he rules.
Yeah.
Does the head husband listen to this podcast? Is he a listener?
There aren't a lot of, like, John Candy type guys like this left. You know, you meet most men nowadays and it's all vests and Microsoft Teams and pickleball. But when's the last time you ran into, like, a big fat oaf who's like, oh no, I ate my grandmother's special lamb chops. I wiped my skid with their French
with the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, whoops, I smoked their great grandfather's ashes in a joint.
The rest of the neighborhood is going to run this family out, though, because of all the pies that keep disappearing from windowsills. it's reached, they can't hide it anymore.
All right, next question. Dear Prudence, I am a 28-year-old woman, and my dad and I have worked really hard to repair our relationship since he and my mom divorced about 14 years ago. And he began a new relationship that overlapped with his marriage, and decided he had little interest in being a dad anymore. I have two little siblings, and he has truly bettered himself and been there for us as adults in a way he wasn't when we were still kids. I'm writing because he recently created a photo server account for us to share where he uploaded a bunch of photos from my childhood that I previously hadn't seen. Some photos concern me. For example, pictures of random women in bikinis at the pool on family beach vacations, pictures of my dad and more random women in the hot tub at my childhood home when we were presumably out of town with my mom, and close-up pictures of our family friend's cleavage at my little brother's birthday party. It makes me feel so gross, and I don't know what to do. All of these pictures are at least 15 years old, but it really seems like my dad is a creep. He sometimes makes off-color comments about women now, but my siblings and I have always called him out on and told him to knock it off. For what it's worth, he has a new girlfriend who seems very normal. I was just starting to feel really good about our relationship again, and now I don't know what to think. Signed, is my dad a sex pest?
Yes. What do you think?
I think this dad's a baller.
A player going to a public pool with your shitty Kodak and taking pictures of like 15-year-olds.
Well, maybe she's no.
Felix, it's the photos themselves were 15 years old, not that the women were 15 years old.
But he's like going to a public pool and just like taking creep shots.
Maybe he knows.
Maybe these are all women he's fucked.
Yeah, maybe she's just hoping that her dad hasn't fucked all these women. Also, another easy response, why are you sharing a photo server with your dad? You know, like every time I back up my photos to iCloud, I'm like, I'm not really sure what's on here. Would hate to share this with my family.
That is where there is a lot of like weird like family sharing stuff in all this. And like the simplest solution to all these problems is like, why the fuck are you doing that? Why are you living, you know, in a compound with the Rain Man toilets? The village idiots. Yeah, with your bewitched brother-in-law. Why are you sharing a photo bucket account with...
He's always messing up the privy.
Yeah, no.
He won't unbutton the flap on his coveralls.
There are skids all over the flap on the back of his one-piece pajamas.
I think this woman is just like sort of like, you know, through old pictures is like uncovering the fact that her dad was a cool guy, and that's very difficult for some people who, you know, assume that their dad, you know, didn't get enough pussy when they were growing up, but apparently he did. But I mean, that is funny that he was taking photos of someone's tits, someone's cleavage at a birthday party for a kid.
Well, being at a kid's birthday party if you don't have a kid is boring.
Yeah, you know?
I want to get something out of this too.
The previous father was like Homer Simpson. This is more of an Al Bundy type character.
I would like to know more before praising this man.
Yeah, I'm on thin ice here.
I'm happy. Well, I'm backing you up as a woman. I'm happy to rush to praise without knowing all the details here.
Thank you.
Well, I want to draw a through line between all of these, which is because of economic precarity in this country and a lack of the factories being open, people are cost cutting in ways that are bringing us into contact with other generations by sharing photo buckets, by moving into the ADU hut behind someone's house. This is why we need a golden age of American manufacturing. We need a baby boom so that we can, maintain strict divisions, geographic divisions, digital divisions away from other generations of our families. We shouldn't know this much about them and their shits and everything else, and they shouldn't know this much about us, plain and simple.
You know, I often hear people lament the fact that there aren't more intergenerational households in America
like there is
in the old country or in Japan or something like that. And I think read these letters and tell me you think that's a socially positive and wholesome arrangement.
Or I say, like, no one is stopping you from inviting your parents to move in with you. Like, you go first.
Yeah, you first.
Well, in Japan, it's different because there's a whole culture and ceremony about like how good you are at like not getting shit on the rim of the toilet or standing in the bowl.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Japanese actually have this word kagare, which means rot, and it, so there's actually this like cultural concept that it's bad to have shit like not down the toilet. Like, it's if you go to a Japanese person's house and you like get shit on their dinner table or their sink,
they consider that very like, rude.
Yeah, they would find that weird. Really rude and disrespectful.
Well, I guess like other cultures have, you know, adopted different customs and traditions to sort of smooth over the intergenerational friction that comes with a, you know, multi-generational household. But I mean, obviously we're going to have to make some of our own here in America as the economy
Americans are slobs. Americans are slobs, plain and simple. You know, it's not going to work for us. It's not culturally embedded, and yeah, we're slobs. We can't just even shit out of our doo-doo asses correctly, apparently. So there's truly no hope for us.
The last advice question of the day is not solicited from Dear Prudy, but from the sex advice. And I saved this one for last because this is the most jaw-dropping advice solicitation, I think. Next to the guy who froze his cum that we did with Stav, this one is very much of a piece with that. So this begins, "Dear How to Do It. My husband will jerk off when I'm too tired for sex. I'm an incredibly sound sleeper, so having him do it in the bed next to me isn't a problem, save for one thing. His idea of a joke is to finish by taking my hand and coming into it and then waking me up so I can see what he left for me.
Jesus Christ.
He thinks this is the funniest thing in the world. I do not. I find it gross and disruptive to have to get up and wash my hand, and there has been more than one occasion where it's gotten on the sheets, which means I having to change those as well. His reaction to me, my telling him I don't like that, is that I need to find the funny. Short of sleeping in our guest room, what can I do about this? Signed, penis, pranked, and pissed." First of all, this woman appears to be married to multiple MIGs. That's all I'll say to just begin this here.
This guy is definitely a fan of impractical jokers.
He might be one of the impractical jokers. And it's really hard because I have to graduate eighth grade next week. Find the funny is like... What that's, generation?
That's emotional
is
terrorism.
That's sort of like a Gen X type of verbiage. This guy is horrifying, though. Unless he's like a dog, because then it's like, you know, that's what they do.
Nutting into your partner's hand when they're asleep is one level of insane. But the fact that then he immediately wakes her up to be like, "Huh? Yeah? What do you think of that?"
Well, otherwise she would just have dried cum in her hand when she wakes up in the morning.
That's actually funnier.
Oh, I'm finding it. I found it.
Short of sleeping in our guest room, what can I do about this? What you can do about this is get Hannibal Lecter to whisper to him all night until he swallows his tongue and as a way of killing himself.
People have gotten divorced for way lesser crimes.
It's just like, what are you... Like, because if you're going to wake her up to let her know that you've just dropped a load in her hand, like, why not just wake her up and have sex with her?
She's too tired.
Well, but then you're waking her up regardless.
Yeah?
I don't know. I don't know what to do with that. Find the funny, Catherine.
Oh, it's funny, all right. Also, just like, you know, again, like, paging Dr. Freud... Piss and shit and cum. It's like Americans do not know what to do with their bodily discharges.
As the song goes, there ain't much to Dear Prudy living. Sweat, piss, jizz, and blood. Don't really know. I don't have much to add to this other than you're married to a psychopath and you need to separate yourself from this man who is possibly the least funny person who's ever existed.
What if these are all, what if this is all like the same family? Like, this is the dark side of the fun loving, like, cake ruining husband.
He's,
John Candy was a Gemini. And light and darkness.
Catherine, what do you think? Okay, like, presumably that this woman doesn't want to leave her husband for his nighttime jerk off pranks. But, like, what do you do when someone pranks you? You got to prank him back. So what would you do in this situation to prank the the nighttime nut dropper.
All right, so I'm taking a page from the other Dear Prudy. You're going to want to start collecting the cum. You're going to want to freeze it into ice cubes. You're going to want to put it in a jar of water, and then you're going to put his hand in it so that he pisses and cums during the night. And then it'll be so funny. All the girls in the bottom bunk are going to laugh about it for weeks. It's going to be like the only thing people are going to talk about all summer long.
Why would he come in addition to pissing himself? Is it the cum ice cubes that make him come in the warm in the water or what?
Well, no, because he would also be jerking off. I don't know. You're overthinking this.
Just get him to do every bodily function at once.
Although I do want to be on the record for saying that all adults who are quote unquote into pranks, they should be on a government watch list and probably imprisoned. Those are people you need to watch incredibly closely.
Yeah, there is nothing impractical about these jokers.
Didn't like all the impractical jokers get Me Too'd?
I don't know. They did?
Yeah.
No, they
sure.
Like I wasn't just like being a dick. Like there was like the impractical jokers were decimated by Me Too. Like it is that, yeah, no, it hit them like the crack epidemic. Well, I think there's like one left who isn't Me Too'd.
In retrospect, the Me Too movement always was going to hit the practical joke community the hardest. no surprise there.
I think we can wrap it up there for today. I think we did a pretty good job answering questions from the Sawyer family from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But, you know, life is full of problems, and most of them are shit, piss, and jizz related. What do you do with it? What are you going to do with it once it comes out of you? That is a hard question to determine.
Be normal. Just be normal for one time.
Best of luck to Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Seriously, I'm so happy for them.
I really hope he's got a plan for his bodily fluids once they get married.
Leave it all on the football field. Win another Super Bowl.
Okay, so here's a correction. I've looked up all the impractical jokers on Wikipedia. I looked at all the personal life seconds. Joe Gatto, it seems to have been Me Too'd. I thought, like, most of them did.
Oh,
it
Felix.
Might only be Joe.
I know what you're thinking of. You're thinking of the Try Guys. Weren't all of the Try Guys
No. One of the Try Guys like cheated on his wife. That was so annoying when that happened.
Okay. Sorry to besmirch the Try Guys. But again, a group called the Try Guys also seems a bit primed for Me Too.
I think I should end this episode before we libel any other comedy groups. This is all speculative. This is imagined. This is not real. Yeah, this is all allegedly a parody. We are simply speaking out of ignorance, not malice.
Not me. I'm going to kill the impractical jokers.
perfectly cogent legal defense.
Okay, let's wrap up the episode. Catherine Krieger, thank you so much for joining us today, senior woman correspondent. If people would like more Catherine Krieger in their lives and they're not me, what should they do?
Just hope to get lucky. No, I'm currently, well, I'm now a contributing editor at Current Affairs. My first piece is dropping there. Still writing a discourse blog. Yeah, throw us a subscription if you can.
Links will be in the show description. That does it for us today. I hope everyone has a wonderful Labor Day weekend. Till next time, everybody. Bye-bye.